Welcome to the Edinburgh Fringe. I'm Ewan Spence, and today we're going to meet Luca Cupani. Yes, wherever you are in the world, welcome to Edinburgh, the arts capital of the world, is added to that list of the capital of Scotland. For 12 months of the year, it's the latter, and the former, well, that's reserved for August. It's the great and the good, and those looking for their big break, and those who are looking to recapture the spirit of their youth, and everything in between, descend on old Ricky, and all get an hour on stage, and all sit before all of the press, all of the public, to put on a show. We've got just a flavour of those shows here, over 3,000 of them during August. We can manage about 20 or maybe 25, 30 if we include the mentions and links as well. So just a little tasting board from the world of comedy, of theatre, of cabaret, of stand-up, of behind the scenes on how everything works, all of that. Today, we're going to head into the world of stand-up, and I am going to meet the Italian comedian Luca Cupani. He's previously worked on the Free Fringe. He's well-known on the London circuit, and he's bringing his first ticketed hour up to the Fringe. Let's meet Luca Cupani.
Orphan.
Yeah.
Hello, Luca. Tell us about your show.
It's about the happiness of being orphan and realizing that your life is much better since my mom has gone. And it's not a heavy themed. There's a bit of death mentioned because it's in the title. But I just realized that my life since my mom has gone had considerably improved because Italian mom can be very, very heavy and controlling, and I wasn't thinking of writing a show about this, but because my mom died more than 10 years ago, but then I got an email from the cemetery where she is buried last year telling me that the rental for the grave has expired and it wasn't renewable, so they were about to dig her out. Okay, that's interesting. It's apparently a standard Italian procedure, but I've checked a few cemeteries in the UK because I live in London, and no, there are people that are dead for way longer than 10 years. They're still dead and they're still buried. But in Italy, for some reason, at least in the cemetery of my hometown, they need to make room for new arrivals. And so that made me think about, oh, wow, it's been 10 years. It's been the relationship. And I found out, oh, it's been a good 10 years. I'm happy, actually.
So where does the body go?
Oh, there's two options, and I will leave you like a... Not
please tell me
spoiled.
One of them isn't bring her to Edinburgh and put her on stage with you.
No, because I fly Ryanair. I don't think I can pass the check-in with it. No. She's not in Scotland. The thing is, you have two options. One is the basic and one is the premium. The premium is a nice niche in a wall, on a storage, like for 30 years. But that's apparently renewable. But it's a bit expensive. The free one, complimentary, is a mass grave. They scatter the bones in the mass grave, so... What do I choose? Well, that we will find out in the show. But it's interesting, and
I did not think that I would be going into Italian attitudes to the dead on this podcast.
Before receiving the email, I didn't think I'm going to do a show in Edinburgh about my mom's remains. But I want to also clarify, if you're famous in Italy, you can be dead for as long as you like, and you're still there. We have still the grave of Dante and famous people, the famous painters, all the Ninja Turtles. They are the artists that they are there. But if you are not that famous, then yeah, you have to move at some point.
What is it like approaching a topic like this, which, as we can hear, you're treating quite lightly but seriously, but could also take quite a dark, somber, deep tone?
Yeah, it could be dark, although I think that humor is a great way to a sort of self-defense mechanism from what makes us worried or scared or sad. You use humor to find the fun. There's always a funny side. In my case, it was even easier to find the funny side because I just realized, yeah, well, I'm better without mom because, I have no curfew anymore. I can have as many chocolate bars as I want. She was very controlling. But I feel, of course, a bit guilty because I'm Catholic, practicing Catholic. And in Italian and in my religion, mom is like almost as powerful as God. If you think we worship God, but we are much into the Virgin Mary, that's a bad choice of word. We worship Virgin Mary almost as much as God. And she wasn't even a superhero. She wasn't a goddess. She's just a normal woman, a virgin, but normal. And so mom is like the closest thing to the Virgin Mary. So you are supposed to love her. And I loved her. I just think I'm better without her. But I didn't help her to go, just to clarify. I'm not a murderer's son. That sounds very bad.
That sounds really bad, but we can put it down to translation. do you think your mom would have liked this show?
She wouldn't recognize me now, because when she was around, I looked much older and sadder without knowing. You know when you are sad and you don't realize you are sad? And I joke about it in the show. I show a picture of myself in my 30s, and I look really older and you know, those people, I look older. So she wouldn't recognize me, but I think we would have a long chat, and I would tell her, well, you know, you were a bit castrating, but this chat would happen on Skype, because I don't think I could bear to have my mom in the same room, because then she would boss me again, and she would question my life choice, and she would tell me why in Edinburgh is summer, you should go to the seaside, and then it would be just difficult.
Speaking of life choices, you started off at the Free Fringe,
yeah.
The various incantations and flavors and organizers, but us punters would say it's the Free Fringe. You're moving up now into the, what do we call it, the ticketed fringe?
Yes, hybrid.
You've sort of moved up to the next level.
It feels good, I would say, sort of. You have to grow. The thing is, I've been to many times to the Fringe, but mostly the previous years, I would use Fringe as a sort of an experiment, a lab. So I would come with a show that is mainly unprepared, sort of half-baked, and I would work my way around the show during the Fringe. So by the end, I would have a decent hour. The problem is, if you only have a decent hour at the end, then when you're back to London, you retire the show. This time, I had for the first time a strong topic, I think, which is with a cemetery and my mom. So I managed to do a decent number of previews, and I thought now it's time to go full in, to offer a show that is well presented. I feel I'm better. It is a weird thing I noticed. When I started, I was very, I'm still ambitious. You know, every comedian, every open micer thinks, oh yes, next step is Live at the Apollo and then Madison Square Garden. And when you look at the first videos of yourself, the first 5 minutes, you are surprised they gave you another shot. I say, oh wow. I remember that kind of arrogant myself thinking, yeah, next time they need to give me headliner spot in the best theater. And I look at myself then, I say, oh wow, this kid really thought he could do this. And now he was so it's a good thing. When you start, you have a lot of arrogance and a lot of ignorance. Then you become more aware and hopefully better. So now I think I'm really ready for the Live at the Apollo, but I will check.
It's such a strange career. I remember hearing this on another interview from somebody else, but I'm now going to shamelessly lift it, note that there's a credit, that the hardest gigs you play are the first gigs in your career, when nobody knows you and you have no idea about stagecraft.
Yes, because I moved to the UK initially to be an actor, because I did a bit of after my mom's death, I did a drama school, I lived the dream of my life, and I thought I'm going to move to the UK, London, because I knew that sometimes they also have Italian actors. And I found out my accent is perfect. My face apparently doesn't match my Italian accent. So I was asked, are you Polish? Are you Western Europe? Can you do a Polish accent? It would match your face better. And I thought, no, I don't think I can. So I discovered comedy. A friend told me, why don't you try open mic? You don't need an agent. You don't need anything. You just go. So I Googled best open mics in London. The first result was the Gong Show Comedy Store. I applied. I got an email. Yeah, you got a slot. And I thought, wonderful. It's so easy. The best comedy club in London, and I'm in. And I didn't check that it was the most brutal open mic in London. So I went there. I didn't even ask for the running order. So I was very rookie. So all the thing I know it was in the second half. And I saw a slaughterhouse of, like, they were kicking off comedians one after another. And the goal is to resist 5 minutes, but the average is maybe 1 minute, yeah. 40 seconds.
For those who don't know it, once they've decided, nope, you're not good enough, you're gone. You're gonged.
Yeah. They boo you off. They raise cards, and then one card, two cards. At the third card, they play another one, Bites the Dust, and they just kick you out. And I won the night. So I thought, oh, wow, I'm ready for the Madison Square Garden. I wasn't. No. And 8 years later, I'm working my way up.
So what is it like now? You've made that step up. Is there more risk artistically? Is there more risk financially compared to when you were doing
yes.
the Free Fringe?
So if you apply for the Free Fringe, the cost of the venue is cheaper and you haven't invested so much. When I started, I used to work in a customer service, a sort of call center. So as it was my side job, comedy. Now I committed full time because the pandemic was difficult. For comedians, was very difficult. And I didn't get any helping scheme. You know, the 3 million people that didn't get any... Because I had savings that now I don't have anymore, but there's no helping scheme now. So I think I missed the train, whatever, the gravy train or the half gravy, whatever, I missed it. So now I put everything that's left to, it's a sort of all in. But I feel that you have to do at some point. If you want to go to the next level, you need to give yourself a bit of credit and also try. You can't play this game half-hearted. You need to love whatever happens with this madness of comedy and Fringe. You can't say, I will do comedy only if it goes well. I will only go on stage if they laugh. It's the other way around. You go on stage, you step on stage, you do the best you can. Hopefully they will laugh. If they don't laugh, you have a lesson to learn. And if you learn the lesson, then maybe next time they will laugh. That's my theory.
And if not, you've got 10 years to bury your career and then lift it out again and go back to customer service.
Yes, and a disaster is also good material for a comedy, so that's good, yeah. But hopefully, I think I'm not eternal, as my parents taught me by dying. I think that my family, it runs in my family, at some point they die.
Right, okay, I think we've now understood why we've got Happy Orphan as the show title. Where can people come and see you?
They can come to see Just the Tonic, the spare room, Just the Tonic, the caves. So in the Cowgate is a little alley up there at 2:20 every day until the 20th of August, not on the 15th.
And are you doing the usual Fringe comic of various other specials and stand-ups and 5 and 10 minute slots
around? Like this morning I was at the Comedy with an Accent, still at the Caves. I was a guest there, a lot of comedians who have English as a second language. And there's European comedians all the way around the city, and I try to get spots, and also Spank or Late and Live. I try to get set list is the one I dream to be there. I was there a few years ago, but I still have to secure a spot. So... yeah, I'll try to be in as many shows as I can. The main one is Happy Orphan of 2:20.
And outside of the Fringe, people can follow you on
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, yes, and even TikTok. But I'm a boomer. I'm not viral at all. I'm a very under the least viral version of TikTok you can find.
Lovely, Luca. Great having the show. Have fun at the Fringe, and say thank you to the paperwork from your mum, I guess.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Look at Kapani there with his show Happy Orphan. As always, edfringe.com is the box office. We'll have a direct link in at our website, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com. You can leave reviews on every one of the shows that's on stage at the Fringe back at that official website. But if you're looking to leave a review or even a star rating between 1 and 5 stars for this podcast radio show extravaganza, you're going to need to head over to the likes of iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, your favourite podcast app on your phone or tablet that you're listening to, and see if there's a ratings button. Press that. It shows that there's an interest. It helps more people find the show. Think of it as in the same way that you bumped into somebody in the streets and never going, you have to see this. Putting down those in the online digital world gives all the signs of that you think more people should be listening to this show. Hopefully you do think people are. Finn Ross is going to be back here tomorrow, and we're again going back into the theatre world with Finn Ross. I will be back for some more comedy and cabaret the day after that. You can probably see the rhythm that we're going for throughout the Fringe as we all settle in. It's the middle of week one. The courses are set, but there's still time for shows to make themselves, get big, get known, go from one single person in the audience, a critical mention on Twitter, and then sell out for the rest of the Fringe season. All that and more in Edinburgh today, this week, this month, at every single Fringe. I'm Ewan Spence, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com. Catch you back here tomorrow. Ta-ra for now. You've been listening to the Edinburgh Fringe Show, hosted by Ewan Spence, produced by The Podcast Corner. Listen to more from The Fringe at edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com.